Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and if you're a person that wants to start up a business of your own, maybe you are of an entrepreneurial positioning and you really want to be able to take a product or a service and be your own person, be out there making all of those greenbacks and having a good life. I mean, after all, it's advertised all the time, but there's one step that so often we absolutely get into confusion about. It is something that we're terrified of. And what is that? It's writing a business plan. This is what we're going to be talking about today, the ABCs of writing winning business plans. Garrett Sutton is my guest. He is a corporate attorney, and Garrett has walked the walk with a lot of people. Welcome to the show, Garrett.
Thanks, Donna. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Someone might say, an attorney giving advice on writing business plans? Give me a break. Where does he get so much expertise in this? Tell us a little bit about your background. I know a lot of attorneys that couldn't write a business plan if their life depended on it.
Well, that's true, Donna. Within the legal profession, there are a lot of different specialties. I happen to like helping entrepreneurs getting their businesses started. My firm, Sutton Law Center, provides services for people forming corporations, protecting their assets, and getting started in business. And when you're getting started in business, one of the most important things you can do is start with a business plan. Start thinking about how you're going to make headway in the marketplace. And that starts with a good business plan.
Now, I want my audience to know that you are located in Reno, Nevada. You also have a number of other offices throughout the country. And your firm has dealt with all kinds of corporations. So you really do have a tremendous background in this. And you have appeared in the Wall Street Journal and a number of other publications. You also are a host of a nationally syndicated Entrepreneur Magazine Legal Show. And we're going to be giving out information on how people can get in touch with you via your website. Now, this book, The ABCs of Writing Winning Business Plans, is part of the Rich Dad's Advisors. How did you link up with Rich Dad?
Well, Don, I'd love to say that Robert Kiyosaki was looking for the best corporate attorney in America and found me, but it didn't quite happen that way. Actually, it was through Diane Kennedy, a friend of mine here in Reno, who was working with Robert Kiyosaki. They needed a corporate attorney, and she was nice enough to refer Robert to me, and the rest is history. I've written 5 books in the Rich Dad Advisor series, and it's been a great pleasure traveling around the country, speaking with entrepreneurs, and assisting people in getting their businesses started.
Now, Robert Kiyosaki wrote the foreword of your book, and of course, this man is very much respected by people from all walks of life, and he absolutely loves business. And he said he likes to invest in people, and obviously, that's what this book is all about, investing in information to help people help themselves. Now, you start off your book with 3 words, plan to win. Why did you start off with that? Almost anybody is going to be excited about, gee, I've got this wonderful product, this service, I'm going to make a gazillion dollars on it. This is all great, but you say plan to win. What are you referring to?
Well, Donna, I think you teed it up properly there. A lot of people get excited about their business. They see dollar signs. They're very enthusiastic. But you've got a plan to win the game of succeeding in business. You've got to take the steps to figure out how you're going to make your way, how you're going to pay the bills So there is a huge element of planning involved before you start winning.
All right. So if you want to win, you really believe in what you've got. Here you are, you're starting off, you have this drive, this motivation, man, you've got it all together. How do you know if you're mentally prepared to really be in business for yourself? Because the truth is, when you're an entrepreneur, when you're in business for yourself, it's 24/7. I don't care what anybody says.
You're absolutely right. And for me, Donna, one of the big things you need to do is make sure that your family's on board. This is a big sacrifice. If you're going to be starting a business, there may be a chance that you don't have a steady paycheck for a period of time. And you're, like you say, you're going to be working 24/7. So you better be mentally prepared for it, and you better have the support of your loved ones, or it's going to be even more difficult to succeed in your new business.
There was a comment in the book that I thought was just really intriguing, especially with the first chapter, and it's one of the tips that you have. Don't forget to plan your exit at the beginning.
Right.
Why in the world are we going to plan an exit? We haven't even started yet.
I know, and it may be counterintuitive, but if you're going to win at this game, you have to figure out what the end game is. And you need to start thinking about, how am I going to exit this business? We always exit a business. Even, you know, at the last element, it's death. But, you know, at the start, you have to think about, is this going to be my business that will be my livelihood for the rest of my life? Okay, if that's the case, that's fine. We need to plan for that. If this is going to be a business, if you're a serial entrepreneur, if this is going to be a business that's going to occupy you for 3 years, we have to have the exit strategy in place so you can move on to the next business. So at the start, it's important to think about what happens at the end.
Uh-huh. So this is a little bit of the plan that not many people hear about. And I think that's something that's very good to look at, because there are people that when they go into a business where they get all excited and they don't have a plan for an exit, and then when the day comes when they decide, whether it's necessity or they really are tired of it, I've met people that have become so exhausted with what they do that they say, I just don't want to do this anymore. And then they have to make preparation for a sale, and
right.
That in and of itself is a big, big challenge.
You're absolutely right. And if you're thinking about selling the business, you need to start planning for that about 2 years ahead of time. You need to get your accounting records in order. You need to make sure all your corporate paperwork is in order. You need to groom the business for sale. So it's not something where you wake up and decide, oh, I'm going to sell the business, and it's sold a month from now. It takes a bit of time to sell that business.
Now, you make a comment in your book that the world is full of great products and short of great entrepreneurs. And that's quite a significant statement. You have an example of Ted and Fred.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about these two men, and also talk about an organization's score. Give us the story on these two guys.
All right. Well, Ted and Fred, I like telling stories. I think people benefit from learning about business principles through stories. And so we have a situation in chapter 2 of the book, The ABCs of Writing Winning Business Plans, where we have Ted and Fred. And Fred, they both want to start a business mowing lawns, and they're very competitive friends. And Fred just wants to get into business. He's itching to get started. And he doesn't take the time to figure out how he's really going to make his way. He doesn't create a business plan. He just goes out and gets a truck and starts doing his lawn business. Ted was more cautious. He spent time learning about how he could make the business work. He read books on how to start and operate a lawn care / snow removal business. You know, he spent time analyzing the local market. And so we talk about, it's kind of like the tortoise and the hare here, where Fred is first out the gate, but he makes mistakes. And he eventually can't keep up with the business. There's negative word of mouth around town, and he loses out. Whereas Ted plans his business properly, learns what he needs to know to operate the business, and over the long run, he's the one that succeeds. So Ted planned to win. He didn't run out there and start winning without planning. And that's one of the lessons of the book, is you have to plan to win.
Yes, and one of the points in your story is the fact that the one man who was all gung-ho and energetic, he had an employee he had hired that ended up getting injured. He didn't have workman compensation.
Right.
He had all kinds of things that he was legally liable for. And the other guy ended up being more prudent. And this isn't to instill fear in people. It's to make us aware that there are those positions of vulnerability that you can have. And so you really need to look at having a team. And I think that that is something that is, for the energetic entrepreneur, sometimes a little bit more than they're prepared to deal with. And that has a whole different level of thinking. Talk about teams and the type of people you should surround yourself with, because I like your statement, if you're the smartest person on your team is in trouble. If you're the only person, you're in trouble.
Right. Well, and that's one of the rich dad, poor dad philosophies, is that to succeed in investing or in business, you need a team. Robert Kiyosaki always says that business and investing are team sports. And so when you're starting a business, a team member, the key team members would be an attorney to give you the correct legal advice and a CPA to give you the correct tax advice. And those are two crucial areas that you need to know about when starting a business. Now, these people don't have to be on retainer. You don't have to pay them every month. You just need them at the start, and you need to be able to go to them when you have a question. So those would be two key team players. And again, these are team players. They're not necessarily owners of the business. They're just advisors that will help you through the process. So those are key team players. I also think that a banker is a team, is a key team player when you get started in a business. Some cases, someone who can assist you in writing the business plan will be a key team player. So you don't have to do this on your own. I mean, it would take years to learn the tax code and the legal code so that you could do all this yourself. You don't have years to waste learning that for your business. Utilize team members who bring that type of skill to the table. You go out and do what you do best. Hopefully you have a passion for your business. You're going to do whatever it takes to succeed in it, and then you're going to have your team there to help you when you need help.
Let's talk about doing the business plan, because a good business plan outlines goals, clearly communicates strategies, and establishes plans for both the best and worst case scenarios, and that comes right out of your book.
Those words sounded familiar.
Yes, absolutely. I have your book in front of me. One of the biggest challenges with a business plan is mental paralysis. And it comes about because you have something that is like an unknown. If you haven't gotten a degree in business, then you just feel like this is just something so incredibly complicated. Does it have to be?
No, it doesn't. And Donna, you're pulling out some good points from the book. The idea that you may not have the best education should not deter you. A couple things to know. We mentioned team. You're going to have team players that will assist you. As well, by doing the business plan, by taking the time to understand the market, to analyze your strengths and weaknesses, to analyze the competition, you're going to have a leg up. You're going to understand that you're going to be able to make a go of this business by doing the necessary planning steps to in creating a business plan. So the whole process of analyzing and collecting information for your business plan will give you confidence as you go into the business. You don't need to have a great education. You need to pay attention to certain matters. You need to be aware of business principles. But you don't have to have a Harvard MBA to get started in business.
Okay, you have 4 points relative to business plans. You have to have a business description. You have to have your marketing strategy. You have to have your financials and supporting material. Cover each of those quickly.
All right. The first one was which?
The first one is the business, your business strategy or business description.
Okay. The business description is just a basic description of what kind of business you want to get into. Remember, this document is important for you. It's going to be utilized by you, but in many cases, it's also going to be utilized by friends and families to consider whether you're going to invest in it. It's going to be utilized by a banker, perhaps, to give you a bank or an SBA loan. So you want to be able to describe to other readers what you're getting into. And so this forces you to really focus on what your business is and how you're going to succeed.
Marketing. Oh, this is one of the biggest, most overwhelming aspects, I think, when it comes to a business plan. How are you going to be able to describe what it is you're going to do? I mean, you can put a few things down, but to think it through, everybody's business is unique, and you have to know about the niche that your product or service is going to fit into.
Absolutely, and you're right, Donna. This is going to be one of the bigger areas that you need to cover and think about. The marketing, you know, we are inundated with marketing messages, and there's a lot of clutter out there. And how do you break through? How are you going to let the world know that you have a great business idea? The marketing section is going to take a lot of time, energy, and thought. And feel free to bring in other team members, other advisors to help you on the marketing. You may not have a great marketing background or experience. And you know, if you're a corporation, you can have a board of directors or an advisory board where you have people who have marketing assistants who can help you draft this section.
Let's get into the financials. Someone's starting off brand new. Maybe they borrow $10,000 from their uncle or their dad or their mom, or they inherit some money and they're going to be using this to fund their business. Talk to us about the financials.
Well, it's amazing that some people will get into business without analyzing how much it's going to take each month for them to break even, without understanding how much the rent and the utilities are going to cost. You really need to sharpen your pencil and make sure that you have a plan that will let you break even in 3 months or 5 months. It may be a year, but you need to have these benchmarks understood. So the financials are crucial. Many investors will go straight to the financials to see whether what you're saying can actually be accomplished. So this is a very important area. Even if you're starting a business on your own, like the Ted and Fred example, where it's a lawn care business, you need to analyze what everything's going to cost you per month, how many new clients you need to have each month so that you can break even in 6 months. So, again, the financials are a very important section for you to consider.
Let's talk about a franchise, because this is something that many people have an interest in. They automatically presume that they're going to be able to make very, very good money with it. But when you're going into a franchise environment, you've got a little bit of a different ball game here. How would someone set up for that kind of a situation?
Well, I like franchising. I think it can be a good way to go. You have someone who has engaged in the business ahead of you. They've kind of paved the path for that particular type of business. Our law firm here works with a lot of franchisors and franchisees. We prepare franchise documents and analyze the franchise documents for the franchisees. It's a good area of business. But at the same time, you need to read the franchise document very carefully. The franchisor has to disclose everything. And these documents can be voluminous. They can be almost intentionally boring. And if you don't go through the document and understand exactly what you're getting into, you can get into trouble. So the franchise system can be a very good way to go. At the same time, Donna, you have to analyze, is it better for me to start my own business and not be subject to the franchise rules and restrictions, not be subject to the franchise requirement that I pay 5% of the gross proceeds to the franchisor and 2% of the gross for advertising? Is it better for me to start out on my own? So that goes into the thinking on how to get into the business. Is it through a franchise or is it on your own? If it's on your own, then you have to do a new business plan.
Let's talk about the man, Pat, who owned a plumbing business. You know, he had grown his business to a certain level, and he knew that he was at that point where he had to expand. But he knew his business, but he didn't have the expertise to go to the next level. Tell us what happened with Pat.
Well, it's a great example that you've brought up, Donna, because Pat, in the book, is an owner of a plumbing business, and he's ready to take it to the next level, like you suggest, but he didn't know how to go about it. So he brought in someone to help him with his business plan, and it wasn't that he was raising money or he was starting a new business. He was, like you say, in the middle of operating his plumbing business, but he needed help. He needed a consultant to come in and see what he could do better, in this case, to get an increased bonding limit. Well, the consultant was able to show him how he could save a lot of money on inventory, how he could get this bonding done without having to come out with a lot of money. So the lesson in Pat's case was, you may not think that you need someone in a business. You're in the middle of a business. You're not starting it. You're not selling it. You're not looking for new money. But at the same time, in certain circumstances, doing a business plan, having someone come in and analyze your business can really help you as you proceed in your business.
And with him, when he was ready to expand, I mean, he learned about how he had to have a certain kind of bond. It enabled him to increase his opportunity for work and to be able to bid on bigger jobs.
Right.
There's just so many things that he's busy every day working.
Right.
So having someone with the expertise is really going to help. I'm going to ask you a trick, not a trick question, really. It's a very honest question. One of the biggest complaints that people will have when you are talking about working with individuals to help you grow your business is, gee whiz, I hired a consultant, it cost me thousands of dollars, it ended up going all down the financial toilet, it didn't really benefit me. How do I find those individuals that I can trust that are going to have integrity in dealing with me? And because I don't have the bottomless pit as far as money goes.
Right. You know, I think one of the best ways is just to ask friends and contemporaries in the business field. It, like you say, there are consultants out there who perhaps overcharge for the type of services that they say they're going to render. So I think personal references are the best way to go. I don't think that there's any governing agency out there on consultants that keeps people to a higher standard. So I would say that just personal contact is the best way to go.
And also, maybe because of reading your book, The ABCs of Writing Winning Business Plans, if you are willing to educate yourself, when you go in to talk to someone, you don't have to be a novice. You don't have to be blind. You can outline your questions in advance. And if they say they're going to charge you $1,000 for an hour, you say, excuse me, I don't need you because I don't know anything about you.
Right. Right. Absolutely. I think education gives you quite a leg up on this. The book, Own Your Own Corporation, that I wrote on incorporating, I tell people to read that before you go to your attorney, because you'll be able to know a lot of information ahead of time so that two things. First, the attorney won't have to explain everything to you at a high dollar per hour cost. Secondly, you'll have a better sense of whether that attorney is creative and knows what they're talking about with regard to business. So you're absolutely right. By reading these books, by getting educated before you see the consultant or the advisor, you're much better off.
A mission statement. So many of us will be familiar with that. Executive summaries are so important. Why?
Well, the executive summary, Donna, is the document, the page that many people will read first. And first impressions, as we know, are determinative. And if your executive summary is not well written, if it has typos, if it has run-on sentences, if it doesn't briefly, concisely, and clearly communicate what you want to do in your business, you're going to lose people. So that executive summary needs to be very well written. In some cases, you may want to take it to a copywriter or a professional writer and have them write it for you. The key thing to know is you do the executive summary last. After you've written the whole plan, after you've got the financials, after you understand your marketing, you've got a good business description, that's when you write the executive summary. And you need to distill everything that's in the business plan into that one or two page executive summary. And if you do it right, you're going to draw people in to the document, and it's going to be a winning business plan.
I like the questions that you present as far as knowing the business. When you're putting information together, why would someone really want to invest in you? Just what are your strengths and weaknesses? Are your strengths common or competitive? Can your weaknesses be overcome? Why are you in business? What is your business? I think when you can come into that positioning of being able to put it down on a piece of paper, it, in a way, it's a little scary because you can be so emotional about what you're doing that those emotions are just going to sort of lead you by your mental nose. And when you have to put it down into writing, that's important. And also being able to recognize weaknesses. I think that that's so important. You talk about McHale in here and so many other people, and I know we're coming close to running out of time, but I want people to know that we are talking about your ABCs of writing winning business plans, how to prepare a business plan that others will want to read and invest in. It's part of the Rich Dad Advisor Series. I have Garrett Sutton with me, who is a corporate attorney who has written a number of books for the Rich Dad Series. And you go into logistics, you go into marketing the business, market trends and timing, funding, financials, financial forecasting, presenting the plan. You just have so much good information here that if someone is sweating bullets and just really scared about doing this and avoiding it like the plague, I think that this is a very good way to get through it so you feel like you have got knowledge enough to work with. Doing a business plan for so many people is just absolutely the nightmare from hell in the minds of many.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And again, with help and with education, you can get through it. It's just part of the process. You have to go through it to get to the promised land of owning your own business.
And it's a wonderful, wonderful environment to be in. But again, when you're ready to own your own business, it is something that is 24/7. You've got to be able to deal with the fact that you're going to have up days, down days, and sometimes good times financially, other times not so good times financially. And I really think your material is quite good. Now, Garrett, where can people go to find out more about the services you offer and also the materials that you have put together?
Well, Donna, probably the best place to start would be my website, which is Sutlaw, SUTLAW.com. And at Sutlaw, we have a lot of information. There are other websites that we have, SuccessDNA and Corporate Direct, but you can all access them from Sutlaw.com.
And I think it's wonderful because you are an attorney, and you yourself have been very well educated with this, and you really like to empower people to know that they can, one, enjoy being an entrepreneur, two, not be afraid of what they're doing. Garrett Sutton is my guest, the ABCs of Writing Winning Business Plans. His website, sutlaw.com. This is Donna Siebel. Garrett, thank you so much for being with us today.
It's always a pleasure being on your show, Donna.
Thank you. And we're going to be taking a break. Don't go away now. We're going to be coming back in just a moment.
As a counselor, Donna Siebel is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Siebel. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Siebel, and our telephone lines are now open. I invite you, if you'd like to let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, to give me a buzz at 877-876-5227. That's for those of you in the U.S. If you'd like to call in from Canada, the telephone number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Now, by the way, my newsletter has gone out, and we're going to be sending the rest of it out. We have a few thousand, so we have to do it in segments. But if you want to pick it up online, just go to DelphiInternational.com. It will be online probably within 24 hours. And I've got all kinds of good information to share with you there. And also, now that I'm not on the road traveling, I'm going to be back in my office. And if you have any special stories or something you'd like to contribute, send me an email to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Or you can always call me at my office, 800-872-8852. I just love the material that I get from so many of you. It is just so much fun. And for those of you that are new listeners to the Donna Siebel Show, I'm so delighted you've tuned in and you're joining our listening family. It's always a joy to have new people join that group. And again, if you want to get a reading from me on the air, all you need to do is call 877-876-5227 in the U.S., Canadians 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. And all I need from you is your first name or initial, and then just sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive, and then after that you're welcome to ask any question about anything that you like. Now, I want to say I received some information from Marguerite, And a couple of items that she sent to me, and I thought I would share them with you. One is about cell phones. And you know how cell phones are. They are just absolutely fabulous, but they can drive you nuts when somebody forgets to turn them off. It's the last thing you want to hear. If you're in a meeting, you don't want people's cell phones going off. And I think it's funny because anymore you can talk to yourself and nobody knows that you're not talking on a cell phone. All you have to do is stick something in your ear and they think you're talking to somebody on the cell phone. So you look totally normal if you were not. Now, this is a cute story that Marguerite sent me. She said, several men are in the locker room of a private club after exercising. Suddenly, a cell phone sitting on a bench shrilled a very loud ring. One of the men standing nearby glances at the phone, then hits the speaker button to connect. And this is the conversation. Hello? Honey, it's me. Are you at the club? Yeah. Great. I'm at the mall two blocks away. I just saw a beautiful mink coat. It's absolutely gorgeous. Can I buy it? What's the price? Only $7,500. Hmm. Well, okay, go ahead and get it if you like it that much. Ooh, thank you, sweetie. I also stopped by the Mercedes dealership and saw one I really liked. I spoke with the salesperson, and he gave me a really good price. And since we need to exchange the BMW that we bought last year, I thought, what price did it go to? Only $92,000. Okay, but for that price, I want it with all the options. Oh, great. Before we hang up, honey, something else? What? I stopped by the real estate office this morning and saw the house we looked at last year. Remember? Well, it's for sale again. It's a lakefront property with a pool and an English garden on an acre of property. How much are they asking? Only $970,000. An amazing price, and the agent says the owners are anxious to sell. Well, then, go ahead, buy it. But offer them $920,000. Don't go over, okay? Ooh, okay, sweetie. Thanks. I'll see you later. I love you. Me too. Bye. The man hangs up the cell phone, closes its flap, looks around the locker room and says, anyone know to whom this cell phone belongs? Would you like to know? I'll just let you think on that one. This is Donna Sebo. We have a caller on the line. Welcome, caller. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Cleveland, Ohio. My name is Andrita.
I'm sorry, dear. I couldn't hear your name.
I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio. My name is Andrita.
Andrita?
Yes.
What a lovely name. Okay, Andrita, the first thing that is coming into my mind is this is not a time to play games. You must deal with what's really going on. Take it one situation at a time. Mm-hmm. I feel as if I'm moving in slow motion. Mm-hmm. And it is frustrating to me because I want to move faster. And I'm getting a cartoon type of image in my head. It's like you've got heavy boots on your feet, like boots you'd wear on the moon, that have magnets in them. And for you to be able to pull one foot up at the time and move it forward and then get the other foot up and move it forward, it just takes so much effort. Mm-hmm. That's how it's feeling in your life at this point. And all I can tell you is it is going to take extra effort. It is going to take extra momentum. Nobody's going to do it for you. You are the one that has to stay focused, concentrated, and move forward with this. If you do that, you're not going to lose. You are going to come out way ahead. Mm-hmm. But this is a process, a methodical process that you must deal with, and it's going to take 3, possibly on the outside, 6 months before everything is in order the way you want it to be.
Okay.
So be methodical, dear. There are going to be a few individuals around you that are going to say, oh, don't worry about this. Mm-hmm. Don't even bother with it. It's not worth it. Let somebody take the responsibility. No,
mm-hmm.
Don't go there.
Okay.
You are making a major, major shift in your life, and this is an investment in what means the most to you.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to ask me about today?
About my finances.
Well?
About my finances.
Okay.
Yes.
What I just said, I think you can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're asking me about your finances,
mm-hmm.
what specifically did you want to address relative to that?
Will I find any, like, will it get better, you know, like, will I find a job or something? I don't know.
All right. I think, Andranda, that you are going to need to really stay focused. You will be able to get work. You are going to need to follow through. Nobody's going to come up and just say, here it is, I'll just hand you, you know, $10,000. It's not going to work that way.
Yes.
I really would like to encourage you to consider finding a copy of The Secret. And the reason I say it is that you are in the process of breaking up a lot of your old belief patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to support yourself with reading material, CDs, anything that will keep you on target, because you have too many people around you who do not have the mindset of good support for you. Doesn't mean they're bad people, but if you want to break the cycle you're in, you are the one that's going to have to determine the steps that you're going to take to do it.
Okay.
What kind of work are you looking for?
Somewhere I don't have to have a supervisor looking over my shoulder.
Excuse me, dear, I couldn't understand you.
No, I need somewhere I can work by myself, because I think I feel I can do more when I'm working by myself than working in a group or having, like, supervisors breathing down my neck.
All right. I think you are going through a major growth with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is going to be an understanding of how you can work with people more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like you to do one thing for yourself. I'd like you to go to a local junior college.
Where?
A college. And I want you to find out about taking a vocational aptitude test.
Okay.
I think you need to be in an environment that will enable you to see the options that you can pursue.
Hmm.
You need to be interested enough in yourself and in changing your life that you'll take this one step.
Yeah.
And then look at those arenas that you will be strongest in and pursue a line of work where maybe you can get some training.
Mm.
Let me give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you enjoyed the restaurant business.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you got a job with a big firm like McDonald's or Wendy's or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And you went to work there, and they had an educational program that they would give you literally for free, you'd be able to do that educational program and perhaps end up in a position of management if that's something you were interested in. This could apply to so many different areas of industry. But that is where I think you need to start, is with the aptitude test, and it's very inexpensive, and you can take it at your local college and be open-minded enough to realize that you have an opportunity right here, right now, make a major change in your life for that level of economic independence that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank you for your call, dear.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, telephone lines are open. 877-876-5227 is the telephone number. Canadians, 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. I want to let you know about the wonderful guests that we have coming on next week. We have Steve Buchanan. We're going to be talking about bees, those sweet little critters that just do so much for this planet of ours. And believe it or not, they've been going through a major, major level of danger because there's been a virus attacking honeybees. But we're going to be talking about The Bee Tree. This is a marvelous book. It is one that teachers could use with kids. It's great information and education regarding these wonderful, wonderful creatures that bring so much to our lives. Then we're going to be talking on Tuesday about the greatest Kentucky Derby upsets. Ed Bowen is going to be my guest. Wow, did I learn a lot about the Kentucky Derby. And it's been around for a lot of years, but oh, what wonderful information about those magnificent thoroughbreds. Then we're going to be talking about children's books. You know, the holidays are going to be coming up, and if you're looking for special guests, you're going to want to find out about Winter's Eve and Christmas Eve by Lisa Johnson, and we're going to be discussing both of those. Then Katie Bannister is going to be my guest next Thursday. We're going to be talking about the personal care attendant guide, and then Teaching kids to care, do you think it's important? I do. That's why we're going to be talking with Betty Young. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a moment. Don't you go away now. I've got more good things to share. Well, this is Donna Sebo. Something's happened to my engineer, so I'm just going to keep on moving. I wanted to, again, remind you of the phone lines that are open, 877-876-5227, Canadians, 888-815-9756, or direct line of 530-876-3222. And what I want to do is say I have an incredibly magnificent cake recipe that I would love to share with you, and if I have time today, I'm going to be doing it. I wanted to say that this was given to me by Faye, and this is something that you make up a day or two in advance of when you're going to serve it. And the reason being is that the flavors just absolutely become so mellow and so spectacular. So this is called the marmalade cake. Now, before I go to it, so go get your pad of paper and your pen if you want to write this down. Hi, this is Donna. We just had a little break there. Now, there's a comment. You know, we're talking about business plans and doing different things. Sometimes when we hear information from people, we ignore them. And there's a gentleman by the name of Richard Carlson. He said, we need, as individuals, if we want to make changes in our life, we need to be willing to listen. But so many times our hackles, our mental hackles get up, and we're unwilling to take another person's advice, no matter how very helpful or sincere that person is that's trying to give it. Why? Because most people are incredibly stubborn. They don't really listen, and they don't want to take any advice. Now, why is that such a big deal? Well, Richard Carlson says, the reason it's a big deal is that you can lose a lot of time. When you throw away valuable shortcuts by refusing what other people freely offer you, you are making a mistake. There are so many people in the world that are wanting to give you good insight, good advice. And what so often we do, we just slam the door in that advice giver's face. So, if you're one of these people, then when people are giving you their perspectives, that your hackle goes up, make it go down. The next time someone gives you a piece of advice and your impulse is not to take it, stop and listen. And consider whether or not the advice is really what you need or not. Listen. Don't think they're going to try to steal your idea or take your business from you. Listen. If the advice is sound, make sure you tell the person who's giving it that you think it's pretty good. That's a good thing to do. And you can make that other person happy in the process of taking the advice. And you know what? You might be very glad that you did. It's very important to do that. We all are stubborn, and we often get so busy being busy, we don't want to really listen. And it pays to listen. Believe me, it'll save you a lot of headache. Okay, give me a buzz if you want to chat, 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756, or 530-876-3222. This is a marmalade cake. And believe me, when I tell you that this is going to be something that if you should choose to serve it, through the holidays. This is great at any time. But if you should choose to serve this, people are going to want this recipe, so you must have it handy. This is all you're going to need for the cake. You're going to need one box of yellow cake mix. One box of yellow cake mix. You're going to need 1 1/3 cup of buttermilk. 1 1/3 cup of buttermilk. 1/3 cup of vegetable oil. 1/3 cup of vegetable oil. 4 large eggs. 4 large eggs. 1 tablespoon of grated orange rind. tablespoon of grated orange rind. Now, you're also going to be making an orange syrup. Now, this is what the syrup is made of. A half a cup of orange juice and a quarter of a cup of granulated sugar. Now, this is for the orange syrup. A half a cup of orange juice, a quarter of a cup of granulated sugar. Frosting. These are the ingredients you're going to need for your frosting and your filling. You're going to need one 18-ounce jar of orange marmalade. And buy the best you possibly can. One 18-ounce jar of orange marmalade. You also are going to need two small containers of extra creamy Cool Whip, one quart of sour cream, and 8 tablespoons of powdered sugar. I'll repeat that. Two small containers of extra creamy Cool Whip, one quart of sour cream, and 8 tablespoons of powdered sugar. Now, these are the directions. For the cake, you mix all the ingredients, your cake mix, your buttermilk, your vegetable oil, your eggs, and your orange rind. You mix it all together and put it into 2 greased floured cake pans and bake 28 minutes in the oven. And a suggestion, if you use parchment paper, when, you know, flour the sides of the pan, but if you use parchment paper cut to fit the bottom of the pan, it makes it a lot easier to remove it. Now, you're going to bake this at 350 degrees, and you want to cool these thoroughly on a cake rack. What you want to do is make 4 layers. Once those layers are cool, you want to slice them in half, and you put them to the side. Now, you want to make your orange filling while your cake is cooking. So you combine the orange juice and sugar, and you put it aside. Now, your orange frosting and filling, what you do is you mix your extra creamy Cool Whip with your 8 tablespoons of powdered sugar and your 4 cups of sour cream with a mixer. You mix that all together. And then you put it aside in your icebox, or in your icebox, in your refrigerator, to chill. This is an old recipe. Believe me, it is good. And then with the marmalade, in the microwave, you soften your marmalade for just 30 seconds at high power. Now, this is how you assemble the cake. You spread out your 4 layers of cake, and you brush on your orange juice syrup. And you wait 10 minutes so that syrup is totally absorbed in those 4 layers. Then you brush on the marmalade onto each layer. After the cake is thoroughly cooled, you want to then spray on 1 layer of whipped cream, sour cream frosting, and using 2 large spatulas, you lift the layer carefully and put it in the freezer for approximately 6 minutes. Then you do the same to the next layer, and you put it on top of the previously semi-frozen layer and put it back into the freezer for 6 minutes again. And you do this with each of the layers on top of each other. Now, what the reasoning behind this is that the coolness will keep each layer from sliding off. And then you will frost the sides with your whipped cream, sour cream frosting, and then on the very top with the marmalade that's left over, you can put that on for decoration, and you put it in the freezer then, the entire cake for 10 minutes. So you are going to need to have room for this. Put it in the freezer for 10 minutes, and then you take it out of the freezer, and you put it in the refrigerator for 1 full day. For 24, my friend that gave this to me, Faye, she said 48 hours even, you can leave it in the refrigerator. But you want to make sure that you have it covered, and she has one of these super, super units for covering cakes, and she said, it is going to be something that people are absolutely going to just rave about. And trust me, it is scrumptious. It's absolutely wonderful. Well, I know we're out of time. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Believe in who you are. Believe in your dreams. And you don't need to give up what's in your heart and in your soul. But sometimes you may have to look for it in a different way. You may find that what your dream is going to be demonstrated in a way and manner that in a million years you would never have imagined to be possible. Keep those dreams and don't stop believing that you can create the magic in your life to make it utterly spectacular. Donna Sebo here. Have a fabulous weekend. Don't forget, time is changing this weekend. Falling back 1 hour with the clock. Talk to you Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.